Okay, I guess we're all set. Is everybody hearing me okay in the Pal Talk room? Just want to make sure we're getting mic'd in clearly. Great. Okay, see a bunch of ones, thumbs up. Okay. All right, I want to welcome everybody not only here on Pal Talk, but also through the Cosmic Wave radio network, through which we're also broadcasting. Sorry for the delay, but we do have our guest on now. It's Mr. Corey Rowe, one of the producers of the now internationally renowned 9/11 documentary, Loose Change. I'm sure most, if not all, of our guests have seen that by now. If not, it's all over the internet. Just Google it, and you can watch it. Very, very well done. It's my personal favorite 9/11 documentary. Anyway, we want to welcome you, Mr. Rowe. Thank you for being on with us tonight.
Oh, thank you for having me on, man.
Yeah, we're going to have a brief introduction here, and then we're going to be turning things over for questions to people in the room here, but if you could just give us a little background about yourself. I'm curious, and I'm sure everybody else listening is curious, how exactly did you come to understand 9/11 to be the inside job that it was?
Sure thing. I kind of got started in this whole mix. The whole thing started, the whole Loose Change saga started back just after September 11th. Dylan Avery, the director of the film, my personal best friend, started writing a fictional screenplay loosely based around us, finding out that September 11th was an inside job. It was supposed to be a fictional story, and while Dylan was researching to write this fictional story about September 11th, I was actually serving in the United States military in the Army. I was overseas in one of the initial invasions of Afghanistan, and he started sending me some of the information that he had been finding out while researching for this movie that we wanted to shoot, just for something that we wanted to do. He started sending me some of the information, some of my own personal testimony, seeing some of the things going on overseas. That for me was the process that started to wake me up to the fact that the government might have, an alternative agenda behind the scenes.
So you were overseas fighting at the time when you came to...
Yeah, it was when I got back from Afghanistan and the 7-month military build-up to go into Iraq, and then me actually going to Iraq and invading that country as well. These events let me understand that our government could have ulterior motives to a situation that they might not tell the American public about.
That must have been quite a blow. I mean, here you are fighting for what you thought was this great, patriotic, worthy cause, and now to discover that it's something other than what you've been told, that must be quite a letdown.
It is. It's a really difficult thing to go through. I mean, it wasn't one piece of evidence that shifted my thought, or one person's personal testimony. I mean, it was a painful process of going over a year or two of getting a little bit of information that made sense here, a little more information that made sense there, and really just starting to be able to form my own conclusions that it really started to sink in.
Right. Yeah. For most people, it's that way. You don't just suddenly see the light. It takes a lot of research, and it's very hard to let go of those preconceived notions that you've held so dear. That's the problem with most Americans. They have this fantasy view that their government is always doing what's best for them, and sadly that's not the case. How was it with some of your other soldiers that you fought alongside with there? Were you able to open some of their eyes, or did they treat you with disdain over this?
Sure. While this whole project was developing, and I mean, we have what you see is Loose Change Second Edition that's out right now. Second Edition is actually more like the 9th or 10th edition to Dylan and myself. We've been working on this for such a long time, and it's come along in so many different stages that when I was able to show my commander of my unit, I kept him updated of what I was doing, just to protect myself, just to cover my butt, just to let them know that I was working on this project that kind of wasn't pro-American government and whatnot. But as far as being able to convert some of my soldiers, some of my friends, some of my comrades, I definitely did. Not as many as I would have liked to, but I really didn't want to be the person in the situation that let these guys know what they're about to get themselves into again, or redeploy for another tour into Iraq, which is, you know, happened just after I left. I didn't want to be the one to shift their minds away from the focus of their mission and their goal. I honestly didn't want to be that person, but, you know, some of them I definitely let them know what was up.
Well, I'm sure you're reaching a lot now. I mean, your documentary has traveled around the world, so one way or another, I think you're getting to some of them. There's actually been quite a turnaround in the Pentagon, as well as among many of our troops. They're recognizing that, you know, it's not the glamorous thing they thought it was. When you were there, did you notice a lot of the chaos that, you know, we're obviously becoming aware of now? Was it bad then when you were there? Or?
The entire civil war, the situation within Iraq has built up to such a point right now that it wasn't nearly this bad in the past years and during the initial invasion, which I was in. It continues to get worse. The civil war continues to get worse. The unrest continues to get worse. I mean, and it's understandable for a country that we originally invaded because we had intelligence stating there was weapons of mass destruction, which we now know that there weren't. Then we were invading Iraq because Saddam Hussein had links to Al Qaeda, which we now know isn't true. So I mean, the Iraqi people have dealt with so many lies from the American government, and our foreign policy is so horrific to these people that I can understand how the violence is escalating and how things are actually getting worse.
We appear to have lost our host. I believe we still have Basimo with us. Let me try to get Charlie back in.
I wonder. We seem to be really having some interesting problems this evening. First of all, how old are you, Corey?
Sure. I'm 23 years old. I live in a house in upstate New York with Dylan and Jason, the other two members of the Loose Change team. I'm 23, Dylan's 22, and Jason's 26. Three young guys.
And are Jason and your other friend, were they also in the military in any sense?
No. I was the only one out of the team that served in the military. Jason was a graphic designer and a pizza flipper just a couple months ago before he managed to get in and start helping us with the second edition. And Dylan actually applied to purchase film school twice and was rejected twice. So I'm the only one with military experience. Jason's actually the only one of us that's gone to college, and that's about it.
What do you tell the American people, Corey, about this? How can we get through to them, and what are the actions that we need to take? I mean, obviously, the polls have shown that a majority of the American constituency believe that this was an inside job. Yet, nothing's really being done. What would you like to see happen here?
What I would like to see, and what my team would like to see, is another, you know, an independent investigation into the Bush administration, into the current administration, into the House of Representatives, out into the Senate, to get the information out that 9/11 has so many unanswered questions that the American people need to wake up about. You're absolutely right. The Zoghbi poll, which was recently taken, stated that 47% of Americans knew that the American government, or at least a rogue element part of it, had a direct involvement in complacency within the attacks of September 11th. That's 47%. That's one out of every two. That's one out of two. I mean, that's a big deal. But that we still have, you know, 53% on the other side of the line, that these people that don't even know and can't even, you know, fathom the idea that, false flag terrorist operation would happen within our own country. It really would blow them away. But what I'd like to see another independent investigation. You know, we stand for reformation of the Constitution and for the Bill of Rights, and make sure that Americans continue to enjoy the rights that they deserve and expect to have.
Well, you know, one of the things that I've often found interesting was, and we were talking about this earlier, is the actual collapse of the towers themselves, Corey. Just two of the most unbelievable towers in the country coming down, straight down, within the short period of time, and we all watched it was there. is that even logical? It doesn't look logical. The images of those towers coming down the way they did, and within the short period of time they did not make sense to my mind. And how do you, as run-of-the-mill folk, just like everybody else, how can we prove, and what kind of information do you have to share with people on how they did this?
Absolutely. I mean, the collapse of the World Trade Center complex is at the crux of the 9/11 story. I mean, people say, you know, oh, filling the World Trade Center with bombs and then blowing it up in lower Manhattan into a pile and saving, and, you know, that's a conspiracy theory. That sounds ridiculous. No, what sounds ridiculous to me is that you're going to have a 7-building complex, and you're going to have two planes fly into the two tallest buildings. Those buildings are going to completely collapse to the ground in complete free fall with no resistance whatsoever. And then World Trade Center Building 7, which is 300 feet away from the North Tower, which wasn't hit by a plane, which wasn't hit by falling debris, managed to collapse into its own footprint at 5:20 p.m. that evening. I mean, that to me sounds like the conspiracy theory. I mean, and then through all that, there's so much evidence. There's so much evidence to suggest that what they told us about the World Trade Center building complex was so untrue. I mean, just anybody out there and don't know about this, go out and just Google, 9/11 Truth, World Trade Center, or watch the video of the collapses. You can see these explosions inside the building, 10, 20, 30, 60 floors below before the implosion. I mean, you can watch it in video, and every day we watch more video from more angles, and it just shows the explosions as that 30-foot chunk starts to fall on the South Tower. All of a sudden, a huge raging fireball. Where did that explosion come from? Where did that fuel come from that had supposedly been blown off by the jet fuel that was inside the wings of the airliner that flew into the tower? I mean, there's so much evidence out there that, you just really have to take a look.
You know, we're going to try to get Charlie back. So if you'll give us just one second, let's see if we can get Charlie back in here.
Okay, I think I'm back.
Hey, Charlie.
There we are.
You guys. Okay, we're back in
the
room.
Welcome back, Charlie. But before you take the mic, Charlie, I have to ask this question. Corey, if the perpetrators of this horrific act at 9/11 are the investigators, is it even possible, even if we were to open the investigation again, they did it. How can we get a straight answer from them?
Absolutely. I mean, and that's a very good question. It's the same thing that people, a lot of people say, well, you're getting your information from your news sources. You know, you're reaching out to the people that are giving out this false information. And to that, I say, I mean, look at Loose Change. Loose Change was made by three young guys who put together information that every other intelligence agency in the world has ignored. I mean, just from that fact alone, we need an international investigation. We need outside countries to have an influence that is going to take, go look at the scientific evidence that is in front of them and make it and bring it to the United Nations, or bring it to a committee of an independent investigation that's going to hold these people accountable for international war crimes. I mean, this is not on the United States level anymore. It's not that we're the only ones that are dealing with this. I mean, America is now the most feared country in the world over Russia and China and Cuba and these communist states. America is the most feared nation on the earth now because of our foreign policy. I mean, it's crazy. And yes, the people who carry this out are the ones that make the laws and are the ones that are going to decide. But that's how we need to stop thinking. We need to get past that, and we need to get the internal and the international investigation going from outside of the country where we're actually going to be able to do something.
Well, that's an interesting point, and just for everybody's information, I'm afraid we've lost Charlie again. Seems to be one of those nights tonight. Corey, when you mention the international community, tell me, how involved and how invested in proving that this was an inside job is the international community? Is there actually something going on as we speak?
Absolutely. I mean, there's there's been numerous things going on in other countries around the world. Just recently, Michael Meacher originally set up a screening for Parliament, for the British Parliament, but then backed out at the last moment because of whatever political reasons. But I mean, people are, you know, administration officials and other governments are starting to come out and say, you know, I know that what happened on September 11th in the United States was, you know, a self-inflicted wound by their government. They've invaded two sovereign nations from it. We have a responsibility as a global community to step forward and to help hold these people accountable. I believe that it will happen. It needs some time. But right now, the 9/11 truth movement is growing so much steam outside of the United States, in Australia, in Italy, in Europe, and now in the Far East. I mean, Google Video, there's all kinds of links. You have different subtitles, different languages. It's been dubbed in all things that we haven't done, but it's getting out there in such a vast amount that it's going to all of a sudden just oversweep the American border, and everybody is just going to be like, how do you guys not know about this? And then I believe that the tower will topple.
The Tower of Babylon, absolutely, considering all of the different countries and nations that are involved at this level. How do you think this is going to affect America, Corey, if in fact we can at one point prove what a lot of Americans believe, that our government was complicit in the fall of the Twin Towers and the murder of over 3,000 of its citizens? How do you think America's going to... Do you think America can withhold this? Can it stand up to this? Is it strong enough
Absolutely.
At this point?
Absolutely, yes. Americans are very, very strong people. I mean, this isn't the first instance of false flag terrorism within American borders, or, you know, that has influenced Americans. I see Americans waking up. I mean, that's the biggest thing. I mean, we're so trained into the society that we live in these days that, you know, people ask us, well, aren't you afraid for your lives that you're doing this? I mean, if that's the kind of question that you have to ask someone, you're already geared in such the wrong way. You're already wired to just accept and do whatever they want you to. I mean, we live in such a society of fear that if this event is what it takes to wake Americans up to false flag terrorism, to you know, secret organizations running behind the curtains of the government, to take a look at how our laws are made, how the pharmaceutical company writes the laws on drugs, how our whole economy is starting to tumble underneath our feet. This whole instance, and as bad as it is, I really think that it's going to be the straw that breaks the camel's back, that wakes up the Americans, that wakes them up to the point that says, hey, you know, look at what's going on around you. Get out of your American Idol haze. Stop drinking, you know, your ridiculous Starbucks coffee at $4.50 a cup. Wake up. Do something about what's going on in your world and make it better of it.
Exactly. Charlie, are you back with us?
I'm back, yeah.
Welcome back, Charlie.
I'm now on over my phone. Skype is, I don't know, Skype doesn't like me tonight. I know I had this problem before, but anyway.
Well, welcome back. Go right ahead, Charlie.
What time are we going to? Because I don't want to spend too much time on the intro, because I know there's a lot of people anxious wanting to ask questions since we started late till like, what, 9:15? Or is that all right with you, Corey, or...
Yeah, sure, guys. I mean, I owe you 15 minutes anyway. I was actually taking a nap, so definitely run it as far as you want.
Okay. I just had two brief questions. Maybe I'll just throw them at you at once, and then after that, I'll turn it back over to Vixie, and she's going to be taking questions from people in the room. The first question is, I'm sure many people in the room are anxious to know this, too. We're wondering when the third edition of Loose Change is going to be coming out. Do you have any idea how soon?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, there's a lot going on with that. We are working. We're already in the process of making the final edition. We have almost everything we need. We're short a little bit of footage, but we have everything we need. We're hoping to get it. Our original goal was to get it in theaters this year, and it's going to happen no matter what. September 11th this year, select cities across the United States are going to have sneak peeks of Loose Change Final Cut. But in all actuality and honesty, it's probably not going to get finished until November, in which point it will be entered into the Sundance Film Festival. And then we're hopefully going to, you know, take home the documentary win in the Sundance Film Festival, and then from there get a buyer to put it into a real theatrical distribution cross-country, hopefully within the spring of 2007. But definitely you'll see, if you're in large cities and you see a small, and it will be in some small theaters September 11th this year, maybe 25-30. It really honestly depends. We're just making the movie, and we're seeing who wants to jump on board and really get the information out there with us. And we got some pretty big movie companies. I'm not at liberty to say which ones, but we just got back from L.A. and met with a whole bunch of different people about a whole bunch of different projects. And you'll be seeing a lot more of us, I can promise you that.
Well, I can tell you a lot of people in these rooms, you don't know what's going on here. They're going crazy. They love you. They absolutely support you 150%. And these people are just crazy about you guys and your work, Corey. We're going to take a public service announcement right now. Carrie, take it away.
The People Speak Radio Show is being broadcast over a shoutcast stream at CosmicWavesRadio.com. That's CosmicWavesRadio, one word, .com. It is also being broadcast in an interactive audio chat room at PalTalk, www.paltalk.com.
This is Chevy Chase. When Richard Nixon abused power, Congress held a serious bipartisan investigation that resulted in articles of impeachment. Strong evidence suggests that George Bush and Dick Cheney launched an illegal war and lied to Congress, spied on Americans without court approval, leaked classified information, produced phony news reports, imprisoned without charge and tortured, used illegal weapons and targeted civilians. Let's get them out of here. Ask your Congress member to co-sponsor House Resolution 635 for an investigation.
Sponsored by AfterDowningStreet.org.
Well, thank you, and we're here with Corey Rowe. Corey is one of the producers of Loose Change 911, the second edition. The challenges, the reports that terrorists committed this attack on the Twin Towers. Before we go ahead, we have a little contest that we do every week, Corey, and I'm going to ask the question. Third person that gives the correct answer will win. I don't know what the prize is, but I'll find out real soon. How old is Corey, everybody? All right, Mesta. Mesta will contact the third person that, and that would be our winner, and we'll be announcing the name in just a few minutes. This is the part of the show that we really enjoy, Corey, because one of the things that People Speaks is about is the People Speak on this program, and we have a lot of people that want to ask you questions. Our first question is from Tosca Puccini. Tosca, please come to the microphone. Give us your first name and where you're calling from, and a brief question for Corey.
Thank you. Hi, Corey. My name's Ellie, and I'm calling from Portland, Oregon. I wanted to thank you for your work, for your honesty, and for all the probably heat that you have to put up with. There's lots of aware people in Oregon. I wanted to let you know that. But I have another question. My question to you is as you are deep involved in the 9/11 truth movement, I'd like to know what is the ongoing investigation producing as far as, are there people who are now moving away from Elliot Spitzer? Do we have hope that a federal prosecutor is going to take this up, or shall we have to wait for a international tribunal? I was just wondering what the buzz is in the truth movement, and thank you again very, very much.
Sure thing, absolutely. Right now, a lot of things are going on within the 9/11 Truth Movement, and actually the 9/11 Truth Symposium that was just orchestrated out in L.A. by Alex Jones, I wasn't able to attend. But I know that right now in the 9/11 Truth Movement, there's a lot of misinformation, a lot of disinformation. We've definitely been infiltrated, and to think that the 9/11 movement hasn't been infiltrated is ludicrous. There's a lot of people out there that are imposing that planes didn't hit the World Trade Center, or a plane did hit the Pentagon, or this happened or that happened. And I simply reply to all those claims as get back to the original issues. Look at the World Trade Center collapse. I mean, it is the crux of the issue. Everyone needs to centrally locate on one goal so that we can get a federal prosecutor behind us that is going to push this kind of thing. If the more that we all squawk at each other and the more that we all argue with each other about it could have been this type of plane or it could have been that type of plane or it could have had thermite or could have had thermite. I mean, it's just like, get back to the real issues, get back to the real smoking guns of the 9/11 incidences, and that's the only way that we're going to get a federal prosecutor behind it, because right now we're being made to look out like loonies. I mean, everybody who says anything about 9/11 is knocked down, ridiculed. I mean, look what happened to Charlie Sheen about a month and a half, 2 months ago. He came out and said 9/11 was an inside job. Who was able to watch Loose Change, and then that changed his view from that point. And then 2 weeks later, all of a sudden, he's a coke-sniffing, whore-killing, child molester, and then they took his kids away from him. I mean, this is the kind of thing that goes on within the American people, that this kind of thing it happens, that if someone comes out and speaks the truth about an incident, that they're totally ridiculed by the mainstream media. We need to get an organization, a real 9/11 truth organization that is gonna bring people together so that we can get a federal prosecutor. But if not, if that doesn't happen and we continue to look like loonies and we continue to yell militia and we continue to, do what's not the right thing towards what everyone needs to do and forget about the message and worry more about your own personal promotion, then what's gonna happen is we're gonna end up waiting for an international tribunal, just like you said.
Well, thank you very much, Corey, and thank you, Tosca, for the question. Our next speaker, virtual audience speaker, is a co-host of ours, Mr. Mojo. Jonathan is often here with us, co-hosting our shows. Come to the microphone, Mr. Mojo. Give us your name, where you're calling from, and please be mindful of lots of hands up. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Bassima. My name is Jonathan Corey. I live in Lexington, Kentucky. I just wanted to say hello, and I wanted to give you some support from me personally. I'm going to need to be a little louder. You can hear me. But anyway, I wanted to see what you're up to about promoting the obvious, glaring 3,000-ton elephant of World Trade Center 7's perfect implosion at the acceleration of gravity. Is there something that can be done to get that video out? You remember MSNBC had Stephen Jones on there, and he said he was going to show a video of the collapse of World Trade Center 7 and then do an experiment with the audience. MSNBC refused to show it. What can be done? I think that is the crux of the matter myself as well. The World Trade Center 7 wasn't hit by a plane 300 feet away, and it collapsed in a perfect form. It was absolutely, controlled demolition would have been very proud to have done something that efficient. I was wondering, I want to go ahead and close this question by asking you, what's your strategy as far as getting the general population exposed to that video, that basic video of the collapse, so they can time the event for themselves?
Sure thing, man. Just not only, as you said, it is the crux of the issue, but there are so many other things that just watching a video of the World Trade Center buildings falling might not be enough for a skeptic, might not be enough for someone who hasn't taken that step, who hasn't taken the gateway drug Loose Change yet, who hasn't jumped over there and said, okay, maybe this could have happened. So what we do is we give out free DVDs, and we give out the link for Google Video, and we encourage people to copy the DVD. And there's other 9/11 DVDs out there. I mean, there's so many ways to get the information across. I mean, we give out cards. You can make cards. you can do whatever it takes. I mean, do it on an 8.5 by 11 piece of computer paper, black and white, and photocopy it. Just take pictures of the World Trade Center, you know, in different frames, showing the blast charges in it. I mean, and then just handing it out. Be the crazy guy on the bus. Be out there, you know, on the rooftops, screaming your lungs out, saying, you know, hey, America, wake up. Look at this stuff I got to show you. You know, maybe I am that guy you think you don't want to listen to, but at least look at the information because your country's being swept away from you. I mean, that's how I used to make fun of Jason, our now assistant producer, is that he was a crazy guy on the bus because he carried around a laptop with him, riding his bus to his graphics job 45 minutes away every day, and he'd sit there, and whoever happened to be the unlucky one, or I see it as the lucky one sitting next to him, you got to hear about the birds and the planes and the Pentagon and all the good things about 9/11 that Americans aren't aware of. Sending the Google video link to everybody you know is probably the best way of combating American unintelligence, I like to call it. So, you know, that I think works pretty well.
Well, thank you. Thank you, gentlemen. You know, I was just getting a little message from Carrie Minaj, who is our coordinator here, and Carrie wants you to know that he has copied a number of the DVDs and passed them out to neighbors in the Philadelphia area. So if the word is getting out. The word is getting out, and just so everybody won't be too surprised, I was only kidding. The DVD we're going to be giving away tonight is none other than Loose Change 9/11. We would like... now, who's our winner? Mesta, did you get a winner for me? Death Rider. Ooh, what a name. Mm-hmm. Death Rider. He probably was riding on the Twin Towers, if I'm not mistaken. congratulations, Death Rider. You can contact Mesta and she'll get your information so you can get your copy of Loose Change 9/11. I believe this is the second edition. Congratulations again. Our next question is going to be from Dennis the Menace. Dennis, if you would step to the mic, please, and give us your name, where you're calling from, and a brief question for Corey.
Hey, Corey. I'm Dennis from Orlando, Florida, and I just wanted to thank you for your bravery in putting out 9/11, Loose Change. And I wanted to ask you a question. You mentioned Charlie Sheen and the crap that he's had to go through because of what he said. I was wondering if you guys have been threatened in any way, and that's my question. Thank you.
Absolutely, Dennis from Orlando. you know, we have had some instances that have been weird to us. You know, a wireless network popping up on our network that shouldn't be there and we can't access, or our hard drive getting completely erased when we go out for breakfast and we come home and, oh my God, the second edition is only on one DVD going across the country. Yes, we have had some weird things happen to us. No, we've never been directly contacted, threatened in any way other than by maybe some crazy fans that don't appreciate, you know, what we're saying, not fans, but the opposite of that. So, no, not the answer is no, but we're going to hope it stays that way.
Well, we sure hope it does, too, because what you've done is very brave, Corey. Our next audience member is Carmen. Carmen, if you'll come to the mic, give us your name, where you're calling from, and your brief question for Corey.
Hi, my name is Carmen. I'm from Austin, Texas, and yeah, I just want to say at the outset that I have a little trouble with some of the things that you present in Loose Change, and you know, there's several things, but I only have a little time, so I'll ask one question, and it refers to the I think it's in the beginning of Loose Change, the first 15 minutes. I believe you refer to an article in the American Free Press, and you say that there's seismic evidence of you know, bombs or something, some explosions going on before the buildings collapse. But I looked up the Columbia report, and they don't mention anything like that. So the only things that they mention that are maybe not explained. Or three, and this is how it reads, three other small spikes at 12:07 and 12:10, and they surmised that they might have been caused by some other surrounding buildings that collapsed. But they couldn't explain those, but those were after the collapses, and they were negligible. So I'm wondering, where did you get the idea that there were two huge spikes of, you know, what it says in the American Free Press article that you pointed to? Thank you.
Yeah, sure thing. Real quick, I'm looking for it right now. It's not in the initial 15 minutes. It's actually in the World Trade Center part that she's talking about, and this is from Palisades, New York. I believe the registered seismic activity in the moments prior to the building's collapse or while it was collapsing. I'm trying to find the exact article so I can tell you where we sourced it. But, I mean, if anybody out there, and this is great. This is what we really want. I mean, we don't want people to take everything that we say at face value and believe it and accept everything. We want you to question what we're saying. We want you to go out there and do the investigation yourself and form your own conclusions. We are only a messenger. I mean, we are not scientists, and we're not firefighters that were in the building. All we are doing is taking the personal accounts and the evidence as we see it in front of us and portraying it to you in a way that is easily digestible for people of any ages. But it's right here. If the American Free Press article is from 9302 newseismic/newseismic.html. You can go right there, and it also goes over Wan Young Kim, who told Chris Bolin that the seismic pickups were underground explosions from a 20-mile quarry away. Right there, it's on loosechange91.com. You can click on our evidence tab. You can scroll right down. If you click on the World Trade Center, icon, you can go right down to the article, see the picture, and then source us where we are. I actually just clicked on it, and it looks like the original article that we had on there has been removed. So honestly, I can see why your question of why you haven't found it. I'll have to get back to you on that. It's a good question. You got me in a corner on that.
Well, thank you very much. Now, we're going to be taking a little break now for our public service announcement, and we'll return with more questions from our guests. Go ahead. Take it away, Carrie.
In America, most of us have the basics we need to survive. But there are millions of children all over the world who don't. Children who must work instead of going to school. Children who are forced to fight as child soldiers. Children who can't have an ordinary childhood because they lack health care, clean water, or good nutrition. For these children, there is UNICEF. UNICEF works in 157 countries and territories, providing children with what they need to survive and grow. To learn more, visit unicefusa.org or call 1-800-4-UNICEF.
Okay, we're back. Oh, maybe we're not back. Did you want to play another commercial? Or? Okay,
no, that's
no,
fine.
Go
ahead.
For it.
Corey, I just had one question I wanted to sneak in here really quick. I meant to say it earlier, and it didn't quite work out. We went on the break, and then we'll turn it back to the floor. I was just wondering if you're able to fill us in. If not, that's fine. I don't know if this is something you don't want to address on the air, but if you could tell us what is going on with the Nade Brothers lawsuit. I understand you've gotten quite a bit of bad rap from them for using their footage. Okay, yeah, sure thing. I'll dive into this. But essentially what happened is when you make a documentary that includes other people's footage, it gets a little tricky. And that's obviously that's what we did. I mean, we sourced everyone that was used with him. What happened with the Nades, they sent us a letter asking us to stop using the footage that we were using, and they're telling us it was illegal, blah, 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 blah. Everything that we used was well within fair use policy. We used less than 5% of our complete presentation was their information, and less than 2% of the information we took was from their documentary. We are not being sued by them. They are not being sued by us. The matter has been resolved. It honestly was a big internet thing that got blown way out of proportion. And I'm sorry that it did, but it, I mean, it's made some ripple effects. But, you know, what it did for us was show us that we need to put maybe a little bit more of a disclaimer in it, saying that the people that we source for some of the information doesn't agree with, you know, our points of view. But this whole thing started, guys, was an accident. I mean, like I said, and you asked for a question on a win, was I'm 23, Dome's 22. This whole thing started by accident. I mean, we made the first 1,000 copies just over a year ago of the first edition, released it on a whim, you know, put it out on the internet, and then, and honestly, I was doing construction 3 months ago, and now my full-time job is executive producer of a production company. This whole thing has been one mistake after the other that's all of a sudden now we're this huge force in the 9/11 truth movement. So there are little things like that out there, but, you know, we just keep moving on.
And that's what you have to do. You just have to keep moving on.
Glad to hear that they dropped that. Go ahead, Vixie.
Our next audience member is Spider Slim Man. Spider, please come to the mic. Give us your first name, where you're calling from, and a brief question for Corey. Speaker. Centerfire is our next audience member. Center, your first name. You know the drill, where you're from, and a brief question for our guest, Corey Rowe of Loose Change 911.
Hey, folks. My name's Joseph. I'm from Missouri. Yes, I was wondering, we know that this wasn't perpetrated by Islam, so who's directly responsible? Does this go back to Skull and Bones? Do you follow this, you know, to the Bilderberger Group? You know, people should be held in charge, and Bush and all these guys and Cheney, they're just puppets. So, I mean, my opinion, and I'd like to have your opinion on this too, so I'm going to get off here and thank you.
Absolutely. I mean, the question is, who do we hold accountable? Because obviously President Bush is not intelligent enough to find his way out of a wet paper bag with a map and a compass. So, I mean, you really got to ask yourself, who's the puppet master behind this? But I mean, honestly, you say Dick Cheney is a puppet, and on one scheme of things, he might be. But to look at the DoD agreement that he signed, you know, changing standard operating procedure of interjecting hijacking, which they had already done 67 successful times that year, he then changed signing the DoD agreement, stating that only him and President Bush were the only two people, I believe, allowed to intercept the hijacking and give the order to shoot it down, which is then what happened on September 11th when we have from the Mineta testimony, which is actually in the 9/11 Commission report, when he was in the bunker, the safe bunker with Cheney, and there was a military aide coming in saying, making him aware, the object is 200 miles out, it's 150 miles out, it's 100 miles out, do the order still stand, do we stand down? And Dick Cheney snaps at him and says, of course the order still stands, have you heard anything different? Now, maybe, yes, he's being influenced to keep that stand down order held, but I mean, right there is direct complacency, because then the Pentagon is struck. I mean, that right there is you know, at least one place that you can start asking questions. And then from there, Larry Silverstein, ask him. I mean, you have such a blatant insurance fraud going on right in front of your face. I mean, this goes on in the United States all the time. People, steal my car so that I get the insurance money, and I'll give you a piece of it. You know, burn down my house so that I get the fire insurance money, and I'll give you a piece of it. This is just something on a larger scheme, because look at the World Trade Center. I mean, I don't want to dive back into it real quick, but look, they were built in 1973 with asbestos and other dangerous chemicals that are not allowed in today's building society. It would have cost them over $1 billion to clean those buildings up to today's standards. It would have been far cheaper to take them down, blow them up, and then rebuild a new modern structure that has all the bells and whistles in a building that you're going to want, that's going to have occupancy, which the World Trade Center was lacking.
Very interesting. And, Charlie and I were talking just before you came on about the Silverstein. When was it that he got his anti-terrorism insurance policy, Charlie?
I believe off the top of my head it was June. You know, and it was the early summer of 2001 that he signed a 99-year lease on the entire World Trade Center complex. A 99-year lease on a building that had citations on it up and down for building violations, for building material violations. I mean, it doesn't even make sense. And then to make sure that insurance policy includes acts of terrorism, and then is able to try and fight it in court that each plane is a separate act of terror. I mean, it's beyond the pale. You got double the settlement. I'm sorry. Out of the whole thing, he invested $20 million into this insurance policy, and then was awarded $2.2 billion for the terrorism act. So that's a $2 billion profit right there. I mean, that to me is a pretty good motivation.
It certainly is to anybody, I would think. Our next question is from Levi. Levi, come to the mic. Give us your first name, where you're calling from, and your brief question for Corey, please.
Thank you. My name is Jesse. I'm from Kennewick, Washington. I'm originally from Philadelphia. I lived in Upper Darby, so I know Philly quite well. I had to take the L to Margaret Orthodox every day to go to technical school, so I miss Philly. But, you know, we have all this, all these things that, you know, we can tell people, the American people, about 9/11, that we have to question what happened. We've got many, many things that we tell them that you have to look at. You have to look at these things. You have to question it. And people are listening. You know, if you look at Powell Talk, people are changing their minds. It's really amazing. But is there a smoking gun, something out there that we can find that will put absolutely no doubt of? Because to me, it's like we're going too slow. I mean, they're so close to something, whatever it is, that I think we can't go fast enough. Is there any way we can get a smoking gun that will just absolutely prove what these people are doing so that the people can come together and unite and do something about it? And I really appreciate what you're doing. I think you have a lot of guts to what you're doing, and don't give up. Thanks a lot.
Hey, man. Really, really, really good question. I mean, honestly, there's one thing out there that nobody has yet. There's one thing out there that if they could get it, if someone could get it, that it would totally squash everything that's going on. And that's a simple interview with one of the hijackers that are still alive. I mean, they're out there. If someone was able to find one of the hijackers and get an interview with them, that would squash it more than it already is. I mean, there's so much out there. There's so many smoking guns of 9/11. I mean, the war games that were going on that morning, I mean, we had 15 confirmed war games that morning of planes, hijacked planes flying into the Twin Towers. I mean, we have a war game of a missile being fired from the East Coast into the Pentagon. I mean, there's so many smoking guns. There's so many different things that you can jump on, but you say you feel like we're not going fast enough. I mean, look at the way the 9/11 truth movement has moved just in the last year alone. I mean, in the first couple of years after the event, the whistleblowers came out, and at that point it was silence. No one believed them. No one wanted to hear what they said, wanted to have to say. And the 9/11 movement actually started to lose steam for a little while there. People started to, you know, really dismay and feel that it wasn't going anywhere. And then all of a sudden we've managed to kick it back up into full gear. And I mean, we have created such a whirlwind of people and information. I mean, look at this. 47% of America now knows that 9/11 was an inside job conducted by our government. I mean, I can't even imagine what's going to happen in the next year. And this is a perfect opportunity for me to jump in a little self-promotion here. On September 11th of this year, folks, for everybody who's listening, it's a Monday. Take it off. Come down to Ground Zero with us. Bring a sign. Wear a T-shirt that says Uncover the 9/11 Truth. Expose the 9/11 Lie. Every major news organization is going to be down there this year. If they want a wide shot, they have to cover us. I mean, we have T-shirts that on our website that say, you know, Investigate 9/11, and I'll send some to you guys so you can give them out as well. If you don't want to buy one from us, we're going to have the artwork so you can download it and iron it onto your own T-shirt. But whatever means necessary, come to Ground Zero this year. Spread the truth to other New Yorkers, other people that are going to be there paying their respects. Every major news organization is going to be there. Come down, show your respect. It's all going to be, sir and ma'am, a polite, peaceful demonstration of information. We're going to have hopefully 50,000 DVDs of Loose Change Final Cut, or a rough cut of Final Cut, to hand out and just, you know, really wake up the American people and give it that kickstart that you're talking about.
Well, you know what we might do is work it out so that we do the show right on Ground Zero. That would be great. Producer, are you hearing us? Our next question is from Isaiah, underscore one. Isaiah, please come to the mic. Give us your first name and your question for Corey. Thank you.
Thanks a lot, Vixie, and good evening, Corey, and everybody in the room. My name's Isaiah under bar one, and I'm coming to you from my igloo in downtown Canada. My question is that how much of the information that you've collected for 911 has been from sources outside the country? I know that there's Trenton Air Force Base, which has a radar set that would have easily have covered the area for the jet planes going into 911. There's also a giant radar site in Newfoundland that covers everything. And there's probably, sources like the Russians, the Chinese. Why, they're always looking, aren't they? I was just wondering how many sources outside the United States have you probed or tried to get the information? Thanks a lot for my question, and go ahead.
Well, thanks, man. Yeah, a lot of the information, and I'm going to go back to the hijackers on this. The BBC and the Saudi Arabian embassy were the ones that initially reported that they had spoken to and interviewed hijackers that were supposedly the hijackers that carried out these attacks. And yes, just like you said, there's so much information available from the international community. A lot of it has come. I mean, the internet for us is its own country. It has its own form of government. I mean, you can go on there and you can get information about anything. There is no country of origin. Of course, you can trace the people that you're talking to, but you can go out there and get the information from every country across the world. I couldn't give you a percentage of the movie that we got from overseas, overseas sources, but it was definitely a good portion. I mean, there's so much out there, and even the Nadez who we had a dispute with, they were able to cover so much information. I mean, even though they were in America, but just watching their documentary alone, it shows you so much stuff that was going on behind the scenes. I don't know, lots, man, lots and lots. Sorry, I couldn't give you a more pointed answer.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much. We are about ready to wrap this up. I think we'll take one more question. Center Fire, if you'll come to the microphone, give us your name, where you're calling from, and a brief question for Corey, please.
Yes, my name's Joseph. I'm from Missouri. I guess what I was trying to get at before is we need to put a face on this booger. We need to find out why they cause this problem, and what they benefit. I mean, is it true that...
Center Fire, are you still with us? I guess we've lost him. Did you get part of that question, Carrie? I mean, Corey?
I didn't catch that.
Yeah, okay. Well, let's go. Let's take one more question from Condor. One. Condor, come to the mic. Give us your name. And brief question for Corey.
Good evening, Mr. Roll. My name is Condor, and my questions are actually, I have two questions. First of all, why is the government keeping the names of the people who place inside trades on the Chicago Board Option Exchange prior to 9/11 such a secret, and is there any action that the populace can take to force the government to divulge this information to the public? Thank you, sir.
Sure thing. As far as the first question goes, I'm not 100% familiar, so I don't want to comment. But as far as your second one, I believe, which was on how do you want to put this, accelerating it within our judicial system. Did I get the point of that question correctly?
He wants to know why it's being mucked up like this.
All right, well, I'm going to jump into something because I'm not completely sure on your question, but I think this is where it's going. I'm going to just jump into it. compartmentalization, how a lot of people keep this thing kind of hushed up. Compartmentalization is how it works. I mean, you got a couple key figures and a couple key positions that you're able to dictate orders down, a chain of command. Military war games, people who operate inside these military war games are often by themselves behind a computer pulling off things they've done, 10, 20, 30 times before in a simulation test. To them, it's nothing new. They don't even realize what they're doing. You have these war games that people are carrying out, and that's the bureaucratic way of getting it through the system. So that's why you haven't seen as many people come out about from the inside government saying, "Oh, I had a hand in 9/11, I know that this is how it happened in 9/11." That's not why you're not seeing a lot of that. But on top of that, you can see all the people who have come out from the administration. Morgan Reynolds, the chief economist for the Bush administration, 1 and 2, who we've had the opportunity to interview. Stephen Jones from BYU professor, who actually got steel from the World Trade Center and was able to do scientific tests on it, completely blowing away the official 9/11 story and saying that the real steel weakened trusses and whatnot. There's so many whistleblowers out there. Willie Rodriguez, who was the janitor in the North Tower for 20 years prior to the collapse of the World Trade Center, who heard the explosions in the basement prior to the collapse of the building. But in all actuality, they are hushing up, and they do what are called PSYOP, psychological operations, against Americans through mainstream media organizations. I mean, you can't watch CNN or Fox News anymore because it's such propaganda-filled just BS that, they'd sit there and they spoon-feed you information and so that you accept it and then drop the subject completely so that it's ingrained within your mind. Americans just need to wake up. And I apologize. I really didn't understand your question, so I just kind of went off there.
Well, I think you went off in a great direction. Thank you very much, Corey. For those of you that did join us late, we've been speaking this evening with Corey Rowe, producer of Loose Change 9/11, the second edition, that challenges the so-called truth about 9/11 being done by terrorists. Corey, we'd like to thank you very much for being with us tonight.
Thanks for having me on. Truly, thank you for having me on.
Well, it's our honor, and we are all very proud of the work that you're doing. You have a tremendous amount of followers here on Pal Talk, and I know within the Cosmic Wave Radio Network. Go to Corey's site, www.ivaw.org. If you could stay with us for a couple of minutes after the show, Corey, and we'll be wrapping this up. Next week's guest, folks, is Ron Kovic, born on the 4th of July, and his friend, producer Frank Cavastani, will be also with him. So this is going to be really interesting. Please join us. We're going to be closing our show this evening. Thank you very much to Charlie Giuliani for being with us this evening. Thank you, Carrie, as always, juggling the background for us with all of the technical stuff. Thank you to the Cosmic Wave Radio audience, and thank you to Pal Talk and to our audience participants this evening. It's been wonderful and very enlightening. We'll be closing now, and Corey, if you'll just stay with us for a minute until after we close down, and thank you. Good night, everybody. We'll see you next week. Remember, when the people speak, we make a difference.
One bright sunny morning, in the shadow of the trees, by the rolling thunder, I saw my vision fall, and they stood there hungry, when I stood there wondering, where this land was made for you and me. This land is old, this land is nice, there's from California to New York Island, redwood forest, the Gulf Stream water, yeah, this land is made for you and me.